I'm Mike.
I'm Michelle.
I'm Ben.
And I'm Ruben. And we're the host of the Four True Crime Idiots podcast.
How's it going?
Going good. Ready for this episode?
Yep.
I'm ready for it.
Yeah.
What case are we coming to today?
The murders of Dean and Tina Klaus.
This is my first time hearing about this case.
Really? It seems pretty interesting.
Too. Yeah.
So let's move on to the Idiot Criminal Club.
All right.
Welcome to the Four True Crime Idiots podcast, Idiot Criminals Club. And here is today's Idiot Criminal Club inductee.
Take it away, Mike.
Two men arrested after vehicle search finds drugs and bag marked bag full of drugs. Posted February 5th, 2020 by POL staff.
Police mag,
yeah.
We should get that magazine.
That's what it is?
I think so.
Two men were arrested in Santa Rosa County, Florida Saturday after law enforcement officers said they found illegal drugs in the bag labeled bag full of drugs. The men were pulled over by a state trooper for allegedly speeding 25 miles over the limit. The Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office canine deputies recently assisted Florida Highway Patrol in a traffic stop on I-10 where a large amount of narcotics was discovered. Note to self, do not traffic your illegal narcotics in the bags labeled bag full of drugs. Our canines can read, a Facebook post from the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office said. The narcotics and other contraband found reportedly included 75 grams of methamphetamine, 1.36 kilograms of GHB, 1 gram of cocaine, 3.6 grams of fentanyl, 15 MDMA tablets, and drug paraphernalia, according to CNN.
I know what he was doing. Reverse psychology. Bag full of drugs? They're not going to look.
There's nothing
in
there.
We're not going to be curious. The dogs are not going to spin it out. Alright?
Reverse psychology, man.
The dogs aren't stupid.
No. Apparently the dogs are smarter than them.
Right?
This was a stinging stray, I guess.
And then you're going 25 miles over the speed limit, too.
I know.
We're not going to get pulled over this way.
Now on to our case. The murders of Dean and Tina Klaus.
Harold Dean Klaus Jr. and Tina Lynn Klaus, formerly known as the Harris County Does, who were a pair of formerly unidentified murder victims found outside of Houston, Texas on January 1981. After moving in the summer of 1980 with their infant daughter, Holly Marie, from Volusia County, Florida to Louisville, Texas, the Klauses stopped contacting their families in October 1980.
So they just stopped talking to their family or getting in contact with their families?
Yeah.
They're from Florida and then they moved to Texas?
Yeah.
But their bodies were found in Texas. So
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The remains were found in a wooded area north of Houston on January 12, 1981. Their bodies were found within feet of each other, both significantly decomposed with a post-mortem interval of approximately 2 months. Dean Klaus had been bound and beaten to death, and Tina Klaus was strangled. Holly Marie's remains were not found with or near her parents' remains.
So did they take her? Well, she didn't walk off, right?
Oh, yeah.
Never mind.
Oh, yeah, because she was a baby, right?
Yeah. So she was kidnapped.
She was missing.
Yeah. So then they were found in the wooded area of Houston, and they moved to Louisville, Texas, which is by Dallas, right?
I'm not sure. That
I don't know. I've never heard of Louisville, Texas.
Yeah, I think it's by Dallas.
Yeah.
So
what were they doing? They moved to Louisville, but why were their bodies found in Houston?
You think maybe they went to Houston for something? Because how long is it? Maybe, how many hours from Dallas to Houston?
Maybe like four?
Maybe it was supposed to be like a day trip or something?
Visit friends or something? But I don't know, were they... Remember, they had just moved to Florida, to Texas. So did they know a lot of people by that time?
I don't think so.
I think that's why it took so long to find out their identity.
Right.
So no one was reporting them missing.
So maybe they got...
But 2 months? Did the family wait 2 months to report them missing, though?
Remember, they weren't contacting them.
But do we know, like, when they cut off contact, was it because they had, like, some kind of issues with the family members and they cut them off? Or...
Maybe.
I mean, you can't get too busy where you just, like, you know...
Yeah.
Forget you have family.
Or maybe something happened to them in that time.
What did they establish if they had, like, a place already in Louisville? Like...
Well, I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Had, like, a place set up and
all that? Yeah.
What did they put with the hitchhiker?
But, like, what do you mean? Like, on their way to Texas?
On the way anywhere, yeah.
Well, no, because they were already in Texas.
Well, maybe from...
Or you just picked up any room... Okay, I'm confused now.
Well, no, like, maybe on the way to Houston, Texas.
Or I'm thinking maybe they met... that person were in Louisville, and I guess they took him to Houston.
They met someone there.
Right.
Neighbor something?
Or someone. It's a weird case. Something. Yeah, someone knows something.
After the two bodies were not identified and the case grew cold, they were buried in anonymous graves, where they remained unidentified for 41 years.
Wow, 41 years? Oh, poor people. So that was in 40 years would have been 2021? Wow. It's hard to believe that 80 babies are in their 40s now.
Yeah, man.
Yes, we are.
I'm old.
I can't even get off the couch without my back hurting me.
Welcome to the old...
And I do
welcome
that little bubbly dance where you kind of like have to take your time to sit up a little bit.
In 2011, the Klaus's bodies were exhumed for genetic testing. In 2021, forensic genealogists positively identified the Harris County Does as Dean and Tina Klaus. However, Holly Marie's whereabouts remained unaccounted for. In 2022, Holly Marie was located alive in Oklahoma with no memory of the traumatic events of her infancy.
Oh, wow.
So who had her this whole time, though? Family members?
We don't know.
Because
she was found in Oklahoma.
She was found in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Nobody knew about them being gone.
Mm-hmm.
So she was the strangers. I wonder if they took a look into the parents that she's with now.
Probably.
Because why would she, I don't know.
We'll probably discuss that later.
Tina Klaus, whose maiden name was Tina Gail Lynn, was born September 21st, 1963. Tina was 17 years old at the time of her death. Dean Klaus's full name was Harold Dean Klaus Jr. and was born on June 7th, 1959. Dean was 21 years old at the time of his death.
Hmm. I guess age difference didn't really matter back then?
Yeah, it's weird. That's why I was kind of like, back then, like, if you hear, like, great-grandparents talking, they'll talk about how she was 16 and he was, like, already 22.
Yeah.
And they fell in love and got married and had kids and all that.
I guess it was.
And like you said, like, nowadays, someone to say, like, oh, I'm 16 and my boyfriend's 22, everyone's looking at the guy like, what's wrong with you? You're like 22 years old.
Yeah.
Like, our grandparents were that young, so it's weird.
Different times.
It's weird.
Harold Dean Klaus Jr. and Tina Gail Lynn were both living with their families in New Smyrna Beach, Florida, when they met in 1978. Tina Lynn was 15 years old and Dean Klaus Jr. was 19.
Okay, so they already met before they married.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Florida, Texas.
Even that's kind of weird. 19 and 15.
Different times. Dean's sister was already dating Tina's brother, who also later married.
Wow. Also, they were dating each other's siblings.
Dean and Tina had what was described by those around them as a whirlwind romance and married a short time later at the Volusia County Courthouse on June 25th, 1979.
So they fell in love, right? Must have happened real fast because...
It was whirlwind.
Whirlwind romance.
Well, good for them. Good for them.
The couple's daughter, Holly Marie, was born on January 24th, 1980. Both were described as devoted parents by those around them. Before their move to Texas, the young family lived with Tina's sister, Sherry Lynn. In the summer of 1980, the Klauses moved with baby Holly to the suburb of Louisville, Texas, in the Dallas metropolitan area. In the early 1980s, the Dallas-Fort Worth area was rapidly developing, creating a construction boom.
So, at that time, it was like...
an economic boom.
So they moved into one of those developing houses.
Suburbs. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like economic boom and that was going on.
Yeah.
At that time.
Yeah.
Screw the Cowboys. That's all I'm gonna say.
What does that have to do with anything?
America's team, my ass.
That part's getting deleted.
No, it's not.
I'm going to leave the part where it says America's team.
America's team.
Okay, hear about this. Dallas Cowboys suck. Yeah, right about the America's team. All one word right there.
I'll delete that one and leave the other one.
No, crap. That's right.
He's got the power.
He kind of does. Okay, keep on going.
Dean was an adept cabinet maker and moved his family to Texas in hopes of finding a good job in the trade. Dean found work with the D.R. Horton Home Builders, and the young family lived with Dean's cousin to save for their own home. Holly was 1 year old at the time of the move. Although work at the time was not stable, no one who knew them reported any tensions between the two.
So they, well, they did, okay, so he had family.
Over there in Texas.
No, okay.
So they didn't, so they weren't living on their own then, they were living with the cousin.
The cousin, yes.
Or the cousin.
Okay. So it was, every work was not stable, right? I thought he had already a job opportunity.
Huh?
It said that he, never mind.
Was, no, I know what you mean, because it says here that he was a cabinet maker.
And that's the reason why he moved.
Yeah, because he, oh, but no, in hopes of finding a good job in the trade.
Okay, I see.
Right? I mean, do you see a lot? I only know about two cabinet shops here, and that's about it.
No, maybe a different time.
Right?
Talk louder.
Okay, so work wasn't stable, but they weren't having any kind of problems, right?
With their marriage, yeah. Yeah, with their marriage.
Okay. I mean, yeah, you have those couples that...
They struggle when there's financial...
No matter what they're going through, they're
together.
They're together, like, you know, yeah. Not, you know, one's now getting mad at the other one, or...
Yeah.
Which is good, you know?
Yeah.
But like Mike says, different time.
Mm-hmm.
It won't be like that now, okay? What'd you do all day while I was at work all day?
Get at work!
Get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, you ask, I get up whenever.
No.
I want dinner when I get home from work. No!
Well,
now it's like that. It's not like, hey, how was your day, honey?
It might be. You never know. Yeah. You never know.
Dean and Tina fell out of contact with their families around late October 1980, only a few months after their relocation to Texas. It is now believed their murders occurred between October 1980 and January 1981, several weeks before their decaying bodies were found on January 12, 1981. The Clauses were last seen alive in Louisville, Texas. It is still unknown how they came to be where they were found, in undeveloped and swampy woodlands north of Houston, 250 miles from their last confirmed address.
See, that's what, like, the weird thing about it.
How did they end up over there?
They were far away from where they were.
Well, that's what I'm saying, like... The cousin, did they interview the cousin, like, to say, like, okay.
No, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure they did.
Yeah.
They had to discuss with him maybe why they left.
Yeah.
I wonder, to make ends meet, he was doing illegal
like stuff. Side jobs, or, oh, yeah.
You know what I'm trying to get at?
Yeah. Maybe. Or fell into it with the wrong crowd.
Yeah.
Right?
Or maybe looking for work, but why travel so far?
Well, yeah.
True.
Well, and that's where they were hearing that a lot of jobs were at.
Yeah, but it just said that the Dallas area was starting to boom.
Yeah, but it was starting to boom, but he was also having trouble finding work.
True.
So maybe he heard that maybe there was a lot more work in Houston, and maybe they were taking a trip over there.
That could also be it. Yeah.
After several months had passed without contact from them, in 1981, Dean's mother, Donna Casasanta, reported the couple as missing. However, there was little effort put into investigation by the police, who strongly believed that the young family had deliberately cut off contact, citing the mysterious return of their car to Florida by members of an unidentified nomadic religious group.
Ooh.
I never heard of a nomadic religious group.
Yeah, me either.
Cult?
What does that mean? Maybe. They just like roam around.
Maybe like a cult? Satanic panic. Wait, that was different. That's different.
No, well, that's around the time that it started happening in the 80s.
How did they know where to return the car to, though?
See, that's another good point.
But who did they return it to over there in Dallas?
Their family back in
Florida. They're back in Florida. And I read somewhere else that they returned it from California.
Yeah.
So that's just weird.
So, the car, after they were murdered, whoever did it took the car to California. And then brought it all the way back to Florida to the family members?
Yeah, in Florida. But
maybe it was some kind of like that Charles Manson group type kind of thing where they lived in a house where it's just like a like hippie type kind of like.
I don't know how big the car was.
No, I'm saying like for them to go into. That's what I'm saying.
Sorry.
No, it's okay, but you know what I mean, right? Because the way they described Charles Manson's little family thing that he had going on there,
the Spawn Ranch.
Yeah.
Was it a Spawn Ranch?
Yeah.
It was it called?
Yeah.
Spawn Ranch.
Spawn Ranch?
We just saw.
Spawn, like S-P-A-W-N, Spawn.
I might have spelled it different.
I think it's Spawn.
Spawn.
I think it's Spawn.
A-U-N?
A-U-N, I believe so.
Yeah, okay, well, the way that one of the girls was describing it was just, it was a place to go to where you had no place to go to, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there they had, like, their kids were raised there.
Yeah.
Whatever. So maybe it was something like that. Maybe that's what kind of group they meant.
Maybe.
Maybe they're all like, hey, we can help you all out, you know.
Possibly.
A little bit, just to kind of give maybe the cousin a break for living there.
Yeah.
Because it didn't say anything about them being religious or anything, right?
Mm-mm.
Not really. So the cops didn't, like, take it serious?
No.
No.
Right?
Which is weird, because, like, they always say, like, to report someone missing 24 hours. And then I hear stories that when they do it, they knock it, especially when they're, like, 18 and older, they always knock it off, like, well, you know, they're adults. Like,
runaways.
They're a runaway.
It's always runaway. Yeah.
What's going on that day?
I kind of get it, too, but then you should still look into it.
Well, yeah, especially if you're saying a baby's involved also.
See? Yeah.
I mean, you would have to have a really bad family dynamic to be like, or fight to say, like, I'm not going to deal with him anymore.
Yeah, but they weren't. The mom was looking for him.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's saying, oh, it's good that no one had issues with them.
Exactly. So the cops should have looked into it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yes.
Starting to sound weird.
Their families made grassroots efforts to locate the missing pair, but none led to concrete developments. One of the such efforts taken by the Lynn family was to report the Clauses as missing to the Salvation Army, who sometimes keep track of disappearances, but nothing on the Clauses from the Salvation Army's database entered the federal databases of missing people.
I didn't even know the Salvation
Army. Yeah, I didn't know about that either.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Do they still do that?
I don't know.
But, like, I was going to say, like, the cousin never, like, on their own saying, like, okay, well, they left at this day. I haven't heard anything either.
That's true. Was he not helping?
Well, that's right.
Did he not know?
Yeah, the cousin had to have known something.
Well, yeah.
When they left, the communication.
Maybe the cousin was part of that nomadic religious group.
Let's just call it the cult.
The cult.
It's a cult. I don't care what they say. It's a cult.
I'm going to look up what that definition is. Hold on.
If you're in the cult, contact us.
Talk to Bobo.
Or don't.
Yeah, Bobo.
Let's talk about their discovered bodies.
Yes, sir. The then unidentified bodies of the Clauses were found on January 12, 1981, in northern Harris County, Texas, in the boggy wood area just north of the Houston city limits. A civilian's dog, led to wander into the woods, returned to its owner with a decomposing human arm.
Wow. That must have been
badly decomposed.
Yep. Man, it must have been, ugh. Imagine the owner.
Freaked him out.
Right?
I would be.
I would too.
The search parties prompted by the dog's discovery subsequently found the heavily decomposed bodies of the Klaus couple near Wallaceville Road. The bodies were found within feet of each other, having been killed at approximately the same time and taken to be part of the same case. Both have been dead for anywhere between a week to 2 months, heavily decayed, with the male body already having been partially skeletonized. Despite significant decomposition, it was determined that both were victims of homicide. The female had been strangled and the male had been bound and gagged before being beaten to death. It is believed that the female victim had been attacked first and the male victim attacked for attempting to defend her.
So apparently he was trying to defend her.
Yeah.
I wonder how they determined that she was attacked first and then him.
Right.
Maybe the way they were positioned on how they found him?
That's true. That's a good question.
Unless it was determined that she was the first to go and then it was him.
But how would they know, though? That's a good question.
Do they do autopsies if it's a Jane Doe or John Doe?
Oh, yeah, I think they have to.
Maybe like that?
Yeah,
they have to determine the time of death?
Like, they can guess, I think.
Well, yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
It was true.
So maybe that's how they determined she was the first one and then...
Yeah, it could be.
Big question was what prompted them to get attacked, though.
That's what I'm saying. That's your...
I'm still going with maybe they picked a hitchhiker or something. Maybe he was on his way to Houston also.
Yeah, but what does that have to do with the cult?
Okay, well then, how about this? Maybe he was part of the cult. He did what he did. Took their car. The baby.
Okay.
He's never been found, obviously.
Oh.
The killer?
The hitchhiker to say. Like,
well, we don't even know if there's a hitchhiker.
I'm saying that maybe they did.
Her theory.
It's a possibility. Oh. But I'm not saying that
was. Hey, watch your tone.
I've been trying to, like, make you understand. Like, I know that wasn't the case, but, like, I'm still guessing that it might be a hitchhiker. Like,
yeah.
What if it's, you know, just
well, maybe.
That group type? I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think the whole group was going to be there to murder them, but.
Well, you don't need the whole group to be there to murder.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think, like, the whole group.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he just...
True.
Maybe they went off the grid for a couple months with that group.
Again, the cousin out. The cousin doesn't know anything or didn't say anything?
I mean, unless he was one of those ones that just minded the businesses and just didn't ask questions and just go on about his day.
True.
You know, trying to get at yeah. the type of person that's just kind of like, what you do is you do, just don't bring it in here.
Yeah.
But you think he'd at least know when they left?
Right? Well, mm-hmm. That's great. See, the that's time what frame. I'm saying. Like, I don't hear anything about the cousin. That's what yeah. people live with.
Maybe they moved right before. Maybe they moved out of his house.
Before all that?
Yeah.
Maybe when that moment they stopped making contact was when they moved.
True. Maybe they got their own place.
Yeah. Maybe they couldn't afford a phone or anything, but you think they would write letters.
Well, yeah. You can write letters.
Mm-hmm.
There's no cell phones yeah, back in the day.
Where is this our new address? We don't have a phone line yet.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if the mom called the cousin first before she called the cops asking
Where they were,
or what's the deal, or, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. You think, maybe.
Was it her
cousin? Oh, but it was his cousin.
It was his cousin.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying, like, his mom.
Oh, his mom, okay.
Yeah, because when she called the cops, you know, because she was going to report them missing.
Who was the one, which mom was looking for him? The his mom or her mom?
I think it was his mom. Was it his mom?
Yeah.
It was his mom? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, you think she would have called a cousin?
Been like, hey.
Have you seen him?
Going on, yeah, like I haven't heard from them.
Yeah,
I would say, like, maybe even within a week of not hearing from them, I think that would have been like,
where are you?
Hey, where are you?
How are you doing?
You're doing good? What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe she did contact him, and maybe that's what prompted her to call the cops, but she still waited a couple months.
Yeah,
way too long.
Well, yeah, because if I had a grandchild out there I hadn't seen for a couple months,
you would care, like, yeah, you would.
I would be like, what? Like,
yeah, careful.
Yeah, like, hey, what's going on?
How's my grandkid?
Also recovered at the scene of the discovery was a bloody towel and a pair of gym shorts. It was unclear if the bodies had been killed where they were found or if they had been taken there afterwards.
Okay, but she only been strangled, right? She wasn't being?
Yeah, I think she was just strangled.
So where did the bloody towel come from? Because he was beamed to death, but...
Maybe they were murdered there. And then the guy was wiping his hands with the towel?
When he beat up...
The husband, Dean, yeah.
I would have tested the towel for DNA.
Right.
Or at least saved it for later on to test it.
And the gym shorts, were they females, males?
Just says gym shorts. Okay, let's talk about the investigation into the identities of the Harris County does.
Further investigation turned up very few leads beyond what was gathered from the scene. As I mentioned before, initial theories speculated that the female victim was attacked first and that the male victim had been killed while defending her.
But again, I wonder how they knew he was defending her. Did they find his body on top of hers, maybe?
He was bound and gagged.
Bound and gagged?
Well, yeah.
How does that
okay.
Was, yeah, I don't know.
Never mind. Okay, so she...
Don't mind me, you know.
So she was bound and gagged, right?
Yeah. Well, he was?
Yeah.
Well, he was. It? No.
Maybe that's how they figured maybe she was attacked first.
To make him watch, maybe?
Yeah, I've heard.
What?
Well, I haven't heard, you know, but you never know.
What's that?
About where they make him watch.
Oh, you know? Yeah, yeah.
It's like they attacked her to knock down and gag him to make him watch.
That's part of like,
yeah.
It's kind of weird how they know.
Right, how they
why, know. Why they think? Why they think he was defending her?
And that's what I'm saying. Maybe it's the way they found him.
Maybe that's why he was bound. Because he was defending her and they tied him up.
Could be.
You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like as soon as they were going to start with her first, he went at him. And then to stop him,
they bound him.
Yeah, maybe they knocked him out.
True.
And they tied him up. So if he came to, he couldn't really stop him.
True. Okay, that makes sense.
She was just strangled. They never said anything about her being raped or anything, right?
Yeah, it's true.
So.
They just wanted to kill him.
Maybe they just wanted to kill him. But then we also know that there's gym shorts and a bloody towel.
See, that's another weird thing.
And they don't really discuss what they were wearing and what she was wearing, if she was just naked from the waist down.
Yeah, true.
Or missing.
Yeah.
Harris County forensic artist Mary Mize drew the initial facial reconstructions of both victims, but the reconstructions failed to generate any leads, not known to be because the Clauses had not built roots in Texas yet at the time of their deaths. The Does were buried in the Harris County Cemetery. No arrests were ever made in the murders, and even after the victim's name, this remains the case.
Okay, so, did you see that explains that they didn't have, like, friends yet, right?
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Not enough.
Because they had just moved.
Yeah.
I wonder who it was.
Just anywhere in Texas, is what they're trying to say, or just in where?
Well, Ruth were they in Louisville.
Oh, okay. Other than the cousin, because that's who they were living with. So yeah. That's what I don't understand. They might not have built roots to say they had friends, to say, like, well, we made up every Wednesday and
whatever. Maybe, but, like, I mean, casual, maybe, like, not casual, but, yeah, go
cousin,
ahead.
You're living with the cousin. You would think the cousin would say, like, oh, wait, that's my cousin. That kind of resembles. I haven't heard from
true.
Him. Maybe he was in that nomadic.
They're cold, yeah, maybe.
The cold case investigation. The bodies were exhumed in July 2011 to extract DNA, originally to find out if they were related.
Biggest DNA.
The funding for exhumation was acquired when Harris County received a grant from the National Institute of Justice to exhume several unidentified murder victims, including the Clauses, to extract their DNA and enter into databases. In charge of exhumation of the Clauses was Jennifer Love, Forensic Anthropology Director of the Identification Unit in the Harris County Medical Examiner's Office. Funding for continued genealogical research into the Harris County does was then secured from the True Crime Podcast Company, Audiochuck.
That's interesting. Well, that's good that they did that.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they didn't try to get DNA before that.
That's what I'm saying. This whole case is just weird.
Mm-hmm.
From the very beginning.
Yep.
With the cops taking forever to find them. Well, I mean, doing anything about it. So the mom taking forever to report them missing.
Mm-hmm.
To the cousin not hearing anything about the cousin. Unless the cousin owned the house and he was just running it after them. He wasn't even there.
True. But they know they said cousin, with right? cousin. Yeah. Again, cousin.
What do you know?
What do you know? Now we'll talk about the identification.
The case of identifying the does was given to California-based genetic genealogy organization Identifiers International in late 2020. Using GEDmatch as a genetic database they searched, forensic genealogists Misty Gillis and Allison Peacock were tasked with identifying them. Gillis focused on tracing the man's genetics and Peacock focused on tracing the female. The male's DNA generated multiple distinct matches in Kentucky, which led Gillis to a Kentucky family with the surname Klaus, who had relocated to Florida.
Have you guys seen that, how they get that? It's really go by families.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting.
Familial DNA.
Yeah.
It's great things to come with that.
I know.
Gillis continued to follow the Klaus family's genealogy until she found an extremely close match with the male. Peacock, acting as a representative for both her and Gillis, called Debbie Brooks, Dean's sister, and asked if there was a member of her family who had disappeared 4 years or more ago.
Oh, so they found a sister.
Yeah.
Oh, that's DNA. Yeah. I'm telling you, that's interesting.
Right?
Brooks then provided Peacock and Gillis with information about Dean, leading to Dean Klaus Jr. being identified within 10 days of Peacock and Gillis's beginning his case. Tina Klaus was then identified shortly after, leading to both of the Harris County does to be identified within several weeks of their cases being reopened.
Man, that must have been hard, though, for the sister, right?
I mean, still not knowing what's going on.
Right.
Or how it happened.
Why. Yeah.
The why. I bet the why is what's killing them.
Mm-hmm.
Dean and Tina Klaus were publicly identified by the Texas Attorney General's cold case unit on January 12th, 2021. On the 40th anniversary of the discovery of their remains. Until then, Donna Casasanta had reportedly been hopeful that her son was still alive. Following the identifications, Peacock continued to work on the case of the Klaus family's public relations and advocates. Families of both descendants traveled to Houston to see the place where the bodies were found and their grave sites. According to Liz Lynn, Tina's brother, both families agreed to have the couple buried together.
Oh, that's cool.
I wonder if Dean's sister... And
oh, the sister and the brother.
Remember, because wasn't her sister dating his brother?
Yeah.
And then they were later married.
Yeah, I wonder. That's a good question.
I'm still curious about the cousin and why he's.
It all circles back. It all circles back to the cousin.
Why he hasn't been questioned? Why he hasn't been brought up?
Well, we don't know if he's been questioned. He might have, but no information has come out.
Popped up yet?
Well, yeah. If there's any authorities out of the case listening to this podcast. Contact us, 4TrueCrimeNewsPodcast@gmail.com. Don't send me spam, okay? Now let's talk about the Klaus's daughter, Carly Marie Klaus, who disappeared.
After Dean and Tina's bodies were identified, the investigation's primary focus turned to finding their missing daughter. No baby's body was discovered with or near the couple's remains, and no baby doe's cases that fit Holly Marie's circumstances had ever surfaced. It is reported that when Peacock delivered the news of the findings to the Klaus family, Debbie Brooks asked if the investigators had found the baby, to which Peacock responded, "What baby?" Several theories about Holly Marie's whereabouts were put forward, including theories that her small body had been carried away by scavenging animals, or that investigators missed her at the scene. Another increasingly popular theory was that the baby had been kidnapped by the killers, which became a general consensus after Holly Marie was recovered alive. It is now known that Holly Marie was left at a church in Arizona shortly after her parents' murders, and that she was left by two white-robed and barefoot women claiming to be part of a nomadic religious group.
Here we go. It was a cult. You can call it a nomadic religious group, but it's a cult.
It's a cult. It's a cult. It's a cult. So what, their murders sounds were like satanic?
Well, maybe. But, so they wanted, I wonder if they wanted the baby.
I wonder
well, if no, because they didn't keep the baby.
I wonder if they didn't want them to bring the baby. Maybe they were going to hurt the baby, and they put it in, and they figured it out.
Whoa, but they did.
But they wouldn't leave it at a church
door. Yeah.
Okay, but these two couldn't possibly do it. Well, I'm not saying that women can't do that kind of damage.
Yeah, but...
But they weren't like, well, unless they change out of clothes and put in those robes.
True.
The gym shorts.
What about?
Maybe that's who it belongs there, there's... to. Maybe they change into white robes, and so they can go in.
I'm trying. It's very,
it's very weird.
Yeah,
very like confusing and very.
They could have just been part of the group.
So they, after the murder, they took the baby to Arizona.
Yeah.
So they were going to Texas. So they rode with the baby
all the way to Arizona to
the church. All the way to Arizona with their car.
And apparently, went to California after that too.
Then went to California.
And then delivered the car back to
family in Florida. So then they had to have known about their family then.
Yeah.
They had to have known him long enough.
Yeah, to know where their mom lived. Or where they were. Yeah, where they lived.
Yeah.
It's kind of
weird.
So
was it them joining the group? Because maybe the group promised them like, hey, you know, they'll have a house, a roof over your head and... food and whatever while you were looking for work and you don't have to worry about.
Yeah, true.
Unless the cousin was part of it.
It circles back to the cousin.
Allison Peacock and her organization, Family History Detectives, along with the Klaus family, continued to search for Holly Marie. Peacock and FHD launched the Hope for Holly DNA project as part of their efforts. Information on Holly's case was released to the public, including that her last known whereabouts were Louisville, Texas. An age progression image made by the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children was also made to be distributed to the press. Now, several family members submitted DNA samples to genealogy websites such as Ancestry.com and hopes of matching with Holly Marie. Several women from across the country wrote to Peacock that they might be Holly, and Peacock tested and ruled out several women who fit the circumstances but were hesitant to work with law enforcement.
Huh. What does that mean?
I don't know.
They didn't want to work with law enforcement.
Remember, because they knew they were in Holly and they were just doing it for
publicity?
Maybe, yeah. Holly Marie was found alive in Oklahoma at 42 years old on June 7th, 2022, which was also coincidentally Dean's birthday.
Oh, so they found her.
Wow.
Yeah.
Alive.
I wonder how she felt. I wonder if she was like...
probably all like, what?
Shocked.
What's going on?
Mm-hmm. That's also fun. Not weird, but what's that word I'm looking for? The coincidence that it was on her dad's birthday.
I know, right?
That she found out.
While the search for Holly Marie was ongoing, it was hypothesized that if she were to be alive, she would not be aware of her identity or past, which ended up being correct.
So you got that one right,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yep.
While several different agencies were involved in an investigation into Holly Marie's disappearance, confusion occurred over whether her name was spelled as Holly or Holly.
Like Holly as in H-O-L-L-I-E.
Yeah.
Or H-O-L-L-Y.
Yeah.
I can see that.
They might even, you can even throw an E-Y.
True.
So can you imagine all the database they had to go through with all of Holly's and so
differently?
Maybe even, not even an E at the end, just H-O-L-L-I-E. I don't know, I, Holly.
Well, maybe.
When investigators asked to see her birth certificate, they found that it had been sealed due to an adoption.
How old was she when all this happened? She was one or she was still a baby?
At least she was one.
So, either way, how are you going to get a birth certificate of a baby that just got dropped off at your church?
That's wrong. She has to get a... Wait, what?
Her birth certificate being sealed because of the adoption. How did they know the babies needed to go get her birth certificate to seal it? How do they know her name? You have to know your name and birthday to get your birth certificate. You know, I'm trying to get it? Because it's not like she had her in the hospital and gave her up for adoption.
Yeah.
She got dropped off at a church. So my whole thing is, if the church had to go as far as getting her birth certificate, how come they didn't go as far as seeing if she had any family that could take her in instead of going through a whole adoption?
That's true.
That's where I'm lost, and that's where I'm confused at.
While a few details of Holly Marie's life have been released out of respect for her privacy, it has been reported that she has lived a satisfactory life, with a 20-year marriage, 5 children, and 2 young grandchildren. Details of her childhood are also being kept confidential due to the investigation into her parents' deaths, being an active case. But it has been stated that her family was never considered suspect in her case.
Okay, we'll see. I thought about that too, if her adopted parents would have known anything.
The church that took Holly in and adopted her to a family, and both the church and the family were unaware of how Holly had come to be in the position of the church and nomadic group.
So they didn't know either?
No.
They just found the baby.
Yeah.
So what? So they just found her and they just made up a birth certificate and they just kind of guessed?
That's true. I don't know how that works.
How do you even adopt baby without a birth?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, because it wasn't like...
Yeah.
Because when they're born in the hospital and they're giving up for adoption, because right away they ask for their name and all that.
Well, maybe with missing babies, they don't.
They just maybe come up with whatever.
Unless they get a new one.
Unless they take them to the doctor to say, like, well, she's this old.
Yeah.
Her birth mother must be around this time.
Yeah.
That's weird. Day between this.
Yeah.
I think the church should have called an investigator.
That's insane.
Yeah. You're right.
Unless those two ladies told a story.
What story?
That's true.
We came across this child in the middle of the road. I don't know who her parents are. She's by herself.
Well, one of us in the middle of the road.
Well, I'm saying, like,
I'm taking things literally today, huh, Michelle?
Yes, you are.
My bad.
It's okay. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, maybe they came up with a story like that. Like, we just were coming across and found this child.
Holly Marie has met with her biological family over Zoom. And the NCMEC will fund a visit to Florida so she can meet with them in person. After her safe recovery, the Hope for Holly Project was renamed to the Dean and Tina Lynn Klaus Memorial Fund, shifting the focus to identifying other unidentified deaths available on GoFundMe. Well, hopefully something comes out of it.
Yeah, something good.
Yeah, man.
And I wonder if... Well, that's nice that she keeps up with the other family.
Well, yeah, she's getting to know them.
Yeah, that's cool. Now on to the ongoing investigation.
The investigation into the Klaus murders is still considered an active criminal case, according to Harris County Police Deputy Thomas Gillian. Due to this, news about the case is partially restricted. The focus of the investigation has since turned to finding the parents' killers. While the publicity surrounding Holly's return generated an increase in new leads to the Texas Attorney General's cold case unit.
Well, it's good that they're still working on it, but come on.
It's going to take a while.
You know, the more I'm reading this, the more I'm seeing, like, they haven't questioned the cousin, and I'm really determined to know what he knows.
You're right. I'm starting to believe the cousin knows something. Now let's talk about this cult.
In the late 1970s, the Jesus Freak movements were common, and the structure of these movements could be favorable conditions for the formation of cults. However, they were decreasing in relevance by the 1980s.
I wonder what happened during the decade that cults were, like, favored, like, not favored, but, like, why they gained, like, popularity, I guess? Not popularity, but what's it called? Traction.
Traction, yeah. People being lost.
It's the lost decade.
Yeah.
Vietnam.
Yeah. According to his family, Dean had a history of interacting with such movements during his teenage years, but drifted away from them after meeting Tina Lynn.
So he was easily, like, persuaded?
Yeah. During December 1980, and what is now known to be close to the time of the murders, a woman who introduced herself as Sister Susan reached out to the family of the couple and Florida, claiming to be interested in returning the couple's car. By that time, Dean and Tina had already been out of contact for more than several weeks.
So Sister Susan dropped off the car.
So Sister Susan dropped off the car. Had already been 2 weeks of them having no contact. So do you think maybe the Sister Susan, when she was in the car, told them, like, hey, I don't want any contact with you all?
Probably, yeah.
They're there with them.
Trying to, like, lie, yeah.
Yeah.
I believe so.
And that's why it took them a little bit longer to kind of be like, hey, something's not right here.
Yeah, then that's what happened.
The family agreed to meet Sister Susan and several other members of her religious group at Daytona Racetrack in Florida. Multiple elements about the meeting did not make sense to the attending family members. The religious group arranged for the meeting to be at night. During the meeting, though multiple members of the group were present, only Sister Susan spoke.
It's weird.
That's shady.
Very shady.
Very shady.
I wouldn't trust it.
Nope.
Well, you know what, to begin with? Let me see. If they were to say, I want to meet up at a Daytona racetrack, I would be like, no.
Why not? See if... Is there a race going on?
I'm okay.
But maybe I'll have a meeting place. And so, is this Susan, the Sister Susan, I guess she's the leader of this group?
I guess so.
Or what? So. Or, like, or the spokesperson?
Yeah, she was maybe. Talking, yeah.
Sounds like it.
Right.
The attending family members were told that Dean and Tina had joined their religious group and no longer wished to have worldly contact with their families. The group then asked Donna Casasanta to donate $1,000 to them.
No, that's not shady. What? That's kind of like, yeah, that's ridiculous.
I would have been like, no. I would have asked why. How come I want to, you know, cut off contact with this?
Mm-hmm.
And
if there was no issues.
Guys. Yeah. Exactly. There's no issues.
Yep.
Now, well, if there's, okay. Now, when they said there was no issues, was it no issues between the husband and the wife? Or was it no issues between the whole family?
I'm doing. Yeah, in the family,
so
all
it's
of them.
Either, so it's both. Like,
yeah.
There was no problem in the marriage.
No problem
and
with the
they
family.
They got along with all both sides of the family.
I'm thinking.
With no.
Yeah.
Problems. So yeah, I would have been like, well, why do they want to cut us off?
Mm-hmm.
And why do we have to go down as long?
Yeah. Mm. If you all had money to make it go down here.
Yep.
I'm not gonna pay you to go have money on the way back here.
That $1,000. That request was kind of out there.
Yeah.
Stupid.
How weird.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if it was some kind of ransom or something without them even knowing it was some kind of ransom. It
could be.
Like, okay, they give us $1,000, then we'll
some
just
kind
like,
of, yeah.
turn them loose and whatever. But if they don't.
I hope they didn't give them the money.
Oh, I hope so. I hope they didn't either.
Police were notified of the meeting in advance, but no formal police report for the incident has been uncovered. When Donna Casasanta later tried to report Dean as missing to the authorities, her claim was quickly dismissed as him having joined the religious group, as Sister Susan has said, with the police citing the return of the car as proof that Dean's disappearance was voluntary.
What? Come
so
on.
That's why they didn't ever... Remember in the beginning when they took forever to do anything about it because they were saying, you know, that he did it on his own?
Yeah.
It's because when they finally called to say what was going on, they're all like, well, there's nothing we can do because if she's saying that he did it
voluntarily, yeah.
He did it because he wanted to. Therefore, we can't do anything because he wanted to.
Yeah. Man.
So, yeah. That's why I was so confused in the beginning as to why they were just real quick to be like, oh, okay, well, whatever.
Yeah.
Because I wonder if they had not mention them when they were reporting missing, and they could just say, like, hey, well, look, it's been, you know, this many weeks we haven't heard from them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can we, if there's any way you can send somebody from over there to go, because I think
them.
If they would have done that, they would have gone and done that.
Yeah.
Now, go check on them, right?
Mm-hmm. Collect the authorities in Louisville
to talk to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I seen a video of a cop cam, mm-hmm. OGO welfare check, because the lady's family hadn't heard from her for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like her.
Mm-hmm.
So they went to go do it. But I think if she would have been like, well, my mom's missing, I haven't heard a couple of weeks or whatever.
Yeah.
The couple's family said they never found it believable that the couple would join a cult. And it is now believed that the car was intentionally returned to lessen the chances of a formal investigation. It is believed that the religious group that returned the car is also the same group that left Holly at the church in Arizona.
Oh, yeah, I think so. They're the same group that left Holly and the church, the daughter. I wonder why they did bring the car back.
I mean, that's a good question. I don't know either.
It's like you said, to throw the investigators off?
I don't know.
But won't that be more suspicious?
Well, that's what I was just about to say. Like, wouldn't that be more questions than answers?
It doesn't make sense.
And so they just brought the car back into the girl?
Yeah, they took the girl to a church.
This group was observed living nomadically around the southwest United States. Their beliefs involved male and female separation, as well as vegetarianism and not using leather goods. It also claimed to have left another baby before laundromats.
So there was another baby?
So I wonder if there's another case involving them, though. Like,
possibly.
Like this baby that they left at the laundromat, like, I wonder if they ever found out where her parents are or what happened to her parents.
Are they just blowing hard at, like, are they lying?
Because my whole thing is, like, how are you just a baby somewhere and no one's really going to, like, question it?
True.
So maybe they're dropping off the baby at the laundromat and someone that they know is going to clean the baby up.
So they should totally be investigated, though.
Yeah, if they have claims like that, I got to do my research and find this group.
Maybe they did do something to them. Maybe they wanted them to separate and they didn't want to.
True.
Maybe they're going more for the girl. Maybe they wanted the girl to join their group. And the thing
or that guy, because remember the guy who had ties with, like, stuff like that.
The guy who had ties with?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So maybe they wanted him to separate from her.
Yeah.
And maybe they attacked her to get rid of her because he didn't want to.
True.
It's weird, man. This is a weird case.
It was a weird case.
Sure was.
Overall, I think it was a weird case that didn't really... They had more questions than they had answers.
Right.
Yeah. Especially when the religious group came in because...
So the religious group is... They're the suspects, right?
I would say so. I wouldn't tell you that the group.
Yeah.
Wait, they didn't catch anyone, right?
No.
Okay.
Well, no, that's the thing. Remember they went to go stay with the cousin for a bit, too?
Yeah.
And then that's...
That's right.
And that's when...
I'm telling you, the suspect, their cousin knows something.
There's no way he does. But I think the religious group is suspect number one.
Yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm. I hope this family finds justice.
Yeah.
I hope so, too. Yeah. I hope it'll be like all these other cases that are breaking wide open. All right. They find what happened to them. And hopefully they find out what happened to Holly, too.
Yeah.
Is that cult still around?
I don't know. I have to do my research.
Because you would think that, you know, you're returning the car, you return the baby. I mean, I had a family.
But the car is like weird.
That was weird.
You're returning the car.
I know. And then just to be all like,
They didn't want to be nothing to do with you.
And they wanted to meet where? Out in the middle where?
At the Daytona. The Speedway. Speedway.
Like, what the hell? I mean, just bring the car to my house, man.
And then they knew where to return it.
Like, they knew where they lived.
Yeah.
And they knew who they were, like.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he did make a friend in that group.
He just wanted to leave, I guess.
Yeah. Or maybe they were with the group for a little bit. They were helping them out.
True.
And they saw how weird it was getting, and they tried to leave.
Yeah.
And they didn't want it.
Could be.
Well, this was a good case to cover.
Yep.
Very interesting.
Very interesting case.
Okay, Mike, take us into closing.
Please rate us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify or wherever you listen to our podcasts. And please follow us, the 4 True Crime Idiots Podcast, on all of our social media platforms. All of the links will be in the description. Until the next episode.
Stay safe.
Beware of your surroundings.
Stay vigilant.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.